Hi there, welcome to Clan Chat, sponsored by Wildwood Communications, and have we got a show for you. I'm Craig Anderson, and it's been a busy week at Clan Towers as we attempt to get up to date with the various goings-on around the club. We look back at the weekend just past where Clan lost at home to Manchester Storm, but recovered to end Dundee Stars' recent good run of form on Sunday, and for that we'll hear from coach John Tripp. We look ahead to two huge Gardner Conference games this weekend when Edinburgh Capitals come to Brayhead Arena on Saturday, as we talk to number 76 Cameron Burt about that one, plus Zach Sullivan joins us to preview this Sunday's trip to Dundee, where the Clan will hope for a repeat of what happened on Tayside last week. And we've got the first interview with Robert Lapine, who joined the club last week as he spoke to Jerry McLaughlin following Saturday's game. And on the back of the news that the roster has been bolstered with the news that Felix Antoine Poulin has joined the Clan, I spoke to his former coach Mark Lefebvre, who coached him at Dundee Stars, as he gives an insight into what the Purple Army can expect. And if that isn't enough, we've got an exclusive interview with former Clan forward Jade Galbraith, who talks about his time in Glasgow, and that's one not to be missed. So with all that in mind, that's this week's Clan Chat. So let's get down to business as we carry out the job of looking back at the weekend that saw one defeat and one win as Brayhead returned to winning ways. On Saturday, former coach Ryan Finnerty returned to Glasgow along with former Clan players Mike Hammond, Scott Pitt, Matt Becker and Jay Rosehill, although Rosehill missed the game through suspension. For 40 minutes it was a good tight contest as both teams went in at 2-2, with the fans in the stands wondering which way the game would go as Kieran Long's opening goal for Manchester was cancelled out by Landon Oslanski. Then Storm edged in front with a goal made in Brayhead in more ways than one as Pitt set up Becker, but Cameron Burt levelled to make it 2-2. Storm edged in front with a short-handed Dallas Earhart goal, followed by two late markers from Luke Moffat to clinch victory for them. So it was on to Sunday as Brayhead went to Dundee Stars, taking on a team with four straight wins and five consecutive successes at home, and were enjoying a decent run of form. Jacob Doughty's first period goal was the only one to separate them before he added his second, and a first ever strike from newest arrival Robbie Lapine made it three without reply. Omar Pasha got one back for the Stars, and when Marc-Olivier Mimar scored on the power play to get Dundee to within one, fears another collapse might happen began to bubble. But there was nothing to worry about as Brendan Brooks scored twice in the space of 14 seconds in the third to settle any nerves. Mimar got a second, but Lapine got another, and Craig Sescon wrapped things up against his old team as Clan celebrated a 7-3 win. Afterwards I got a word with head coach John Tripp, and he spoke of what pleased him most after the game.
Just end the weekend on a good note. Yesterday was one of the tougher losses for me the year. So to get the win today and show how well we can play for 60 minutes was nice to see. Dundee won four games in a row after their last beating against us 6-0, or after we beat them 6-0 last time. So they were on a bit of a roll, and they play well at home. But Ryan did well. He took a lot of shots today. And, we got too many penalties again, but the boys played hard. We had a good showing from, like we talked about, our secondary scoring as well.
Now, obviously speaking to you last night, you were very unhappy at how last night's game panned out. So was there a discussion pre-game about last night? And if so, what was the message you gave to the players tonight?
No, we just, yesterday we did some video today and we had a little discussion. Try to just tell them maybe be mentally tougher. And that's about it. So we got on the road, went to Dundee, and we played well.
Now, as I said, you spoke of the collapse in the game last night against Manchester. Dundee got it back to 3-2 early in that third period. You must be pleased they seem to have learned from that, at least.
Well, I mean, it's a process. I mean, we didn't speak about the collapse yesterday, but we just talked about how we have to go forward here. So we don't want to dwell on too many negative things. We want to go forward, and it was nice to see. We had a good spark at the start of the game with Jacob Doughty and Landon Oslanski. They got two fights there, and I don't promote fighting, but they showed they want to play for the team, and I think Jake also had two goals and two assists with that, so that was a big night. Robert Lapine, he played really well too. He skates well, and he's going to get better. He just flew in here, but he had a really good game as well, and it seems that the line of him and Jake, and I was switching up a bunch of players there on the left side. I seemed to click.
Now, not wanting to get ahead of ourselves, it's only one game so far, one victory, but can this be the foundation for maybe a bit of a run, perhaps?
You never know. We'll see what happens next weekend. I mean, like you said, it's only one game. No one's going to hand us a win. We got to go and earn it, and we got to play hard. We just have to be nothing stronger third periods. That's what it comes down to. And we're not tired. It's just being mentally tough when the cards are packed against us and things don't go our way. We got to stand up and put in a little fight, a little more effort.
John Tripp after Sunday's win over Dundee Stars. Before the games last week, Brayhead Clan announced the signing of forward Robbie Lepine from SPHL side Pensacola Ice Flyers after the news that Tyler Shattuck would be out for 4 to 6 weeks. The 25-year-old played for University of Guelph in the US Sports League and had a brief spell with Armada Jackals in the ECHL before heading to Pensacola, where he made 26 appearances and scored 6+16 before heading to Scotland. As I said, he made his debut on Saturday in the 5-2 loss at Manchester before scoring twice at Dundee Stars in that 7-3 win. But after his first appearances, Jerry caught up with him and asked him about the quickness of getting him into the UK and into the team for Saturday's game.
Yeah, it was. I flew in overnight, came in yesterday, but it's been a warm welcome.
It's obviously not the result that you'd have wanted for your debut, but just give us your first reactions to the atmosphere and your initial thoughts.
Yeah, it was a sold-out barn tonight, so that was a great feeling and great atmosphere out there. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
When you arrived tonight, what was the first thing that John Tripp said to you? You get thrown in there. Have you had much chance to practice with your teammates there? It was quite a kind of trial by fire, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I just had the morning skate this morning, so yeah, they threw me right into the fire, but I think it'll be all right.
So take us through a little bit of the game there. It was really, really tight, first period, second period, and then I guess the turning point with the shorthander there. Can you take us through that kind of moment in the game and what your thoughts were?
Yeah, it's tough when they get a shorthanded one like that near the end of the game. I think we should get a few more pucks to the net and stuff and we'll be all right. But yeah, when they get a shorthanded one like that near the end of the game, it's tough to turn around on that.
Well, your first instincts as well with your line mates, it's difficult to get that chemistry straight away, but you're happy where you are and things start to click a little bit, certainly in the second period.
Yeah, they're both very skilled players, so I think it'll be very good. It's exciting to play with those guys.
Robbie Lepine talking to Jerry on Saturday. As quick as a turn of the head, we start looking forward, and it's a big Gardner Conference doubleheader coming as Clan look to close the gap on 5 Flyers, starting with a visit of Edinburgh Capitals on Saturday before another trip to Dundee to face the Stars on Sunday. We'll get to the Dundee game in due course, but we'll focus on Edinburgh, who are looking for a second straight win for only the second time this season. As has been well documented, the Caps have had a variety of issues this season, including the departure of coach Dimitri Krstić just before Christmas, with forward Mike D'Orazio and assistant coach Jock Hay taking charge for now. They snapped a 15-game losing run with a slender 4-3 victory over Manchester Storm on Sunday, with Einar Podsen scoring twice to help take those points. In terms of the table, they're still bottom, picking up 9 points from their 34 games and 18 points away from Dundee, just above them, plus their 23 points away from a playoff spot. Clan have a 100% record against them going into this one, winning all 5 meetings so far, but Brayhead defenceman Cameron and Burt reckons they'll be lifted by the result on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to come in a confident team. We know not to take them lightly. Pretty much every game this year that we've played them have been close games, so it's just another test for us that we got to prepare during the week and take it like we're playing any opponent. So it's going to be big for us to get this game under our belt and start a little run going.
And a team at the bottom of the league as well, they've got that belief they can get victory as well. Does that make them a bigger threat?
Yeah, I mean, teams at the bottom of the standings really play for, they don't have anything to lose, so they'll throw everything but the kitchen sink at you. And they got a win over the weekend and they got confidence coming in, so we'll have to be ready.
They got a new goalie a few weeks ago, a Canadian guy who's come in. Changing a goalie mid-season is not something that happens all too often. How can that change the dynamic of a team, if it does?
Yeah, I mean, it just gives you a little bit of a different look in net, and just guys have something to play for now. Change that sometimes can help spark a team, and like we saw, they got that win against Manchester. That's a pretty good team. So he's a good goalie before. He's a pretty big guy, so just having the confidence in net like that, it would protrude out to the team as well.
Speaking of confidence, Clan would have that as well after that win on Sunday against Dundee. That's going to be a big factor for the team as well, going home against the Caps.
Yeah, no, it was good. We were able to put up some goals, had some good individual performances. I thought Jacob Doty had one of his best games, and Brooksy getting 2 big goals for us at a big time, and Nisey was solid in net as usual. So it was good for us to get that going and put some goals in and really just have a good week of practice and get ready for this weekend.
Quite a contrast to Saturday when I saw you guys trudging off the ice, obviously very disappointed in what happened at the third period again. Was the difference in that game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was very disappointing losing the lead like that in the third period, especially at home. It's something you never want to do in front of your home fans. So, you know, that one stung a bit, and we just let that one burn for a bit and just realized we didn't want to feel like that again. So we came out with a, you know, a bit of a fire under us, and were able to get the win and had a really good third period.
You've got two conference games this weekend, Edinburgh, and then you go to Dundee on Sunday. How big is the emphasis on getting conference points at the moment?
Yeah, no, conference wins are huge. As I was recently made aware, the conference winner gets, you know, one of the top three seeds, so that would be huge for us. And right now, you look at it, and we're right there in it. So we got a lot of conference games left, so it's just taking them one by one.
And finally, back to Edinburgh on Sunday, they'll want the points, obviously, after that big win on Saturday. How did Clan beat them? How did Clan break them down?
Just sticking to our system. You know, we got to play up to our full potential and just execute our game plan, get guys going to the net. Power play, we got to step up, and our penalty killers got to kill penalties. So nothing different, just sticking to the game plan and playing our game.
Another injury blow to the team. Tyler Schofield announced as he's going to be missing for the next few weeks as well. How big a blow is that to the team right now?
Yeah, I mean, Schofield's a dynamic player, one of the fastest guys I've ever played with, and he's got one of the best shots that I've ever seen. So it's going to be a tough blow, but somebody's got to step up and, you know, fill in his shoes, and we're all professionals, and someone's got to be ready to answer the bell.
Cameron Butt there, looking ahead to Saturday's visit by Edinburgh Capitals. Tickets for the game are available, so get yourself onto brayheadclan.com and pick those up today. Face-off is at 7 p.m. on Saturday. On Sunday, John Tripp and the boys hit the road again as they make their way to Dundee for the third time this month and hoping to repeat what they did there just last week. We've already touched on that game and how it went, but the recent run by Omar Pasha's side, which saw them win all four games since Hogmanay up to last Sunday, has put them back into contention for a top eight spot. So with that in mind, how will this latest meeting go? I spoke to defenceman Zach Sullivan about the game, and he agrees it will be another big test.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone saw a different side to us when we played them on Sunday, and no doubt they'll want to give a response back and show that teams can't play against them like we tried. And yeah, it's going to be definitely a different Dundee to the one we saw on Sunday, and it's going to be another really good, fast game. So yeah.
Dundee seem to have improved since the game on New Year's Eve, where Clan beat them 6-0. They got those couple of signings and they went on that little bit of a run as well. And I watched the game on Sunday as well. They seemed a lot different to even just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the New Year's game was I think we caught them on an off day. I don't think that was really a representative of how they've been playing all season. You know, they got some great results against some of the top teams in the league, and we can't go in there thinking that, well, we beat them 7-3 last time, it's going to be exactly the same. We have to go in thinking it's going to be the Dundee that beat us 3-2 from two goals down the time before when we were there. So, yeah, and the two new signings I got, obviously we know Carly quite well. We know what he brings, and they've seemed to strengthen the team a bit more. And yeah, they're always getting better. Every team's always getting better, and they're included in that.
This is the time of year where every point really becomes a prisoner in Brayhead's situation right now. That's certainly the case.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking in the room about you know, pushing for the conference. I know Fife have had the way of the game so far against us, but you know, we're not that far behind them in the conference, and if we manage to turn that around, then there's always that chance that we win the conference, and then obviously that gives you the highest ceiling for the playoffs, which is what everyone's looking for right now. So yeah, I mean, we're definitely on a push. We've been talking in the room about what we need to do and what we need to stop. And yeah, it's hopefully we can carry on the kind of performance we had on Sunday.
Brendan Brooks told me on Sunday night that was a big win on Sunday against Dundee. How big was it from your point of view?
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't just the win itself. It was the way in which the team bonded, and you know, we had two big fights pretty much straight off the start. And it was a physical game from the entire team all the way through the game. And you know, we got some really big guys, and like Dose's fight was great, but then he also goes out and gets 2+2, so he's, you know, he really stepped up for us on Sunday, and he you could say he won us the game. So yeah, we we're bonding as a team, and obviously the win's good, but obviously it's a conference game as well, so it's two really big points, not just in the league, but in the conference too.
And of course, it's two big conference games this week as well. How much emphasis is placed on the conference at this moment in time?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're not saying that they're more important, but we're it's kind of like they're double points, because they're points in the conference and they're points in the league, and you know, we want to do everything we can to win the conference. We've won it the last 3 years, I think. So, you know, we want to keep the conference in Braehead, and to do that, we have to win our conference games, obviously.
So Dundee have got a pretty good threat as well. I mean, Mimar has chipped in with a few goals in the last couple of meetings as well. Jimmy Jensen's a player that's always there. Who would you say is a big threat for Dundee?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but the number 12, Levesque. Hmm. I mean, he was player of the week a couple of weeks ago, I think, and you know, he's very talented, very skilled, and but they've got three lines of depth, and you know, every line's different. One line's a skill line, one line's a hitting line, one line's a power line. So yeah, it's you've got to be aware at all times, and you can't take a shift off when you're against their second line or the third line, because they're just as good as their first line. So yeah, they're definitely a team from top to bottom. I know they're missing two players at least, and there'll be a big boost when they come back, but they're a good team, and you have to be wary of teams like Dundee.
Zach Sullivan looking ahead to Sunday's trip to Dundee Stars. And it's kind of with Dundee Stars we stay with as we talk about the latest signing to join the clan, as John Tripp continues to strengthen the team for the final few weeks of the season. Offensive defenceman Felix Antoine Poulin has signed and becomes the fourth ex-Dundee player to come to Glasgow from the side that beat the clan on their way to the playoff finals weekend last year. The 27-year-old was one of the Stars' top performers as they made their way to Nottingham, and was a player who made 64 appearances, scored 21 times and assisted in another 38 in an impressive campaign. So impressive, in fact, he was named in the Elite League's All-Star second team and scored the most goals by a defenceman. He left Tayside and spent the summer in Australia with Newcastle North Stars before heading to Slovakia, where he iced for MSHK Žilina and was a teammate of former Clan forward Scott Pitt. Felix was released by Žilina last week, and Clan moved quickly to get him on board. So to get some insight into what Felix will bring to the team in the coming weeks, I spoke with his former coach at Dundee Stars, Mark Lefebvre, now assistant coach at ECHL side Cincinnati Cyclones, who revealed what qualities he had that persuaded Mark to take him to Dundee in the first place.
Well, you just look at his points tally last year. His tremendous offensive ability from the back end. He can run a power play. Tremendous skater as well. I think he was tied for the most goals, shorthanded goals, by a defenseman in the league last year as well. So he's able to jump in the rush quite a bit. He plays more of a rover style than more of a defensive defenseman. You know, you need to pair him up with a solid D partner back there, because he does like to join the rush and create offense.
Of course, he's had that spell in Slovakia with Žilina, which we assume didn't go well enough. Obviously, he's not stayed there the whole season. Will he be keen to get what's left of the season, you know, right in and, you know, get some points on the board?
Well, exactly. I think, you know, Brayhead's looking for an offensive piece to their lineup, especially on the back end. And, you know, I had four teams call me the last week about him. You know, he is what he is. He's got a big shot from the points. He'll put up points for you, help create offense from the back end, which every team needs. And I know Brayhead's looking to get into the playoffs here, and I think he's going to be the player to help him do that.
That's it. You talk about Brayhead and the fact they've not had a good season this year. So how big a piece can he play? How big a part can he play in this these final few weeks?
Well, he was a tremendous part to our success last year, especially getting to the Final Four weekend, you know, and especially beating Brayhead last year in the quarterfinals. So, you know, he's going to be not only a great piece on the ice, but off the ice as well. He's a good human being. He's great in the dressing room, well-liked by his teammates. And, you know, he knows a few of the guys there already in Seskon and Greece and in Tanaka. So he's played with those guys before, and he'd definitely be a quality piece to that lineup.
Well, having those guys there help him settle in, do you think?
Well, I think so, but he's already lived in Scotland for a year already, so he knows and he knows the league, he knows the building well, he knows the organization, I think, pretty well from playing them so many times last year. So he'll settle in right away, and you know, like I said, he'll be a great piece for them, and hopefully lead them into the playoffs.
That was the voice of Mark Lefebvre talking about new clan signing Felix Antoine Poulin. It's time to get all nostalgic as we reach out to a former player to have worn the purple, and this week it's a player still fondly remembered by the fans after two memorable years between 2011 and 2013. Jade Galbraith's signing was seen as a huge statement of ambition for Brayhead Clan, who were entering their second season after a good first campaign under Bruce Richardson. Richardson had gone and Drew Bannister was in as the new player coach, picking up a player from Nottingham Panthers who had won two Challenge Cups and the playoffs in a three-year spell under Corey Nielsen. Galbraith developed a great rapport with Jordan Kristanovic in his first season, scoring over 100 points in his maiden campaign and winning the Elite League Player of the Year award. His second season under Kristanovic as coach, and latterly Paul Gardner, was a different story, with injury curtailing his progress as the team didn't find the sort of form they had previously. However, he was still the recipient of the Wall of Fame banner to represent the 2011-12 season, and as we look back on that season, I asked Jade if that was the best season he had as a pro player.
Well, yeah, it definitely was. You know, Jordan Kristanovic and I, right from the get-go, just we had such a good chemistry together. So that just, you know, with the fact that it was new to us both, we were happy, you know, we were winning, you know, a different atmosphere. It was awesome. The fans, you know, for that, everything just kind of was in sync. Everything just worked out. So the year was an incredible year. I'd say one of the best. I had a couple of years in junior where we won a championship. And then in Germany, my first year in Germany, I had over 100 points as well. So, other than that, it's a different, but definitely one of my best years for sure.
Now, you talked about the friendship you had with Corey Nielsen a bit earlier, and Corey's got a bit of an image where he's quite an abrupt kind of guy. You know, he's very serious, dry sense of humour as well. So how did working with Drew Bannister compare?
Well, yeah, Drew, you know what, as a coach, right, when you're playing with a coach, a player coach, it's a lot different than I've ever had to do. You know, other than the UK, I've never had a player coach, so that was kind of a different aspect. But Corey and Drew were, you know, very knowledgeable. You know, Drew was, I had one of my best year in the UK with him because he understood me. You know, he gave me a more of a leash. He said, you know, if you give more of a leash to a player, right, they can hang themselves or they can, you know, have a great year. So we talked right from the start. He said, you know, I know your reputation. If you just come to work every day, you know, and give me 100%, I'll let you do whatever you wanted to do. And that was the great thing about me and Drew is we understood each other. You know, I'd go out, I'd do my thing on the ice, and he'd let me do my thing, you know, off the ice. So we had such a good relationship right off the bat. You know, he did that for me, and I respected it so much that I wanted to help him. And we got along really well. Just like Corey, he's a little bit more strict. Obviously, you know, but they're both unbelievable coaches, unbelievable guys. So, you know, both good in their own right.
And on the ice as well, especially that first season you played alongside Jordan Kristanovic, a whole load of other guys in that team that really stood up for the team that year as well, Tim Wedderburn in defence as well. What was it like being in part of a team that were so together, certainly in that season?
Oh, absolutely. I was one of the most closely knit teams I've ever been on because, you know, as an import, you know, from Canada, you know, the English players, they kind of, you know, would stay with their own players. They know they live there in the winter, in the summer. You know, they're better friends. So we're only there for, you know, 8 months of the year, six, seven, 8 months a year. So, you know, there's that little standoffish to start. But in Brayhead, you know, all of us, like, we had a lot of young Brits that were awesome, like Kevin Phillips and Matt Haywood. You know, those kids were so, like, they were such good, friendly guys that I still talk to them, you know, on a, you know, monthly basis. We'll shoot each other a text. But that's something that you not a lot of teams build, and they were being so young, and you know, being able to mold a team, you know, it was awesome in that respect. As in Nottingham, they were all, you know, David Clark, Danny Meyer, still one of my best friends, but they were you know, stalwarts in the league. They were older guys. They had their own lives, you know, aside from hockey. Whereas these kids, it was pure hockey. So that's why I think we were so close, is because, you know, we were all there just to play hockey. We didn't have any other lives. It was just, that was it. So it was different, but on the other hand, it was very good for camaraderie-wise.
Now, that second season for Brayhead, your first season at the club, the team finished, I think, around about fifth or sixth, a mid-table position. Was there a feeling you could have maybe or should have done a bit better in terms of league position and perhaps qualified for the playoffs, remembering that quarter-final with Nottingham?
Well, the second year was tough for me, myself, getting that back injury. And, you know, I started out with, 15 goals in 7 games, and I was tearing the league up, and then I got injured, and then, you know, the coaching thing went through where Jordan was, we weren't winning and stuff. It was a tough year for everybody. It was one of those things that, you know, it just got worse and worse and worse. And we still managed, I think we won the Gardner Cup or whatever, as first in the whatever. Mm. But yeah, it was a tough year all around. It just was right from the get-go. It was just tough all around. So I think, you know, it was tough on Jordan not winning and myself, you know, having the start I had, which was awesome. And then, you know, going through those injuries and then struggling when I got back, even when I was healthy, I was struggling. And it was, you know, one of those things that it just snowballed. And it was tough to, you know, tough to get to the rink. It's tough to, you know, to produce. And I wasn't used to that. So it you know, tallied it more on me. So.
You mentioned about the partnership you had with Jordan in your first season, and you mentioned obviously he was the coach in your second season. Things had changed, Drew had moved on, Jordan became the coach, but results weren't going the team's way. Did you notice a change in Jordan from, you know, being a teammate, and he was still a teammate, but he was the coach in that second season?
Yeah, it was different, you know, because we you know, we were, Jordan's like me, we would always want to have fun first, you know, and play hockey, and hockey's really easy when you're having fun and you have no worries, right? So as a coach, for him, when you're losing, you know, it's so hard because he takes most of the ownership of being the coach. You know, you have to win. You know, as a player, it's, you know, we have an easy job. Like, we go out there, obviously we're losing, it's, you know, there's pressure, but not as much as a player coach. So with him, we kind of separated a bit. We're still great friends, but on that aspect, as if you're losing, you know, he can't be the up and jolly guy like where we used to, where we just say, screw it, let's have fun, go out there and have fun during the game. You know, he always had that added pressure. So it was tough. It was definitely a different year. Would I have changed it, some things? Maybe, you know, it would have been better if we weren't both, you know, running the team or Jordan running the team. You know, it might have turned out different, but, you know, I don't regret anything, never have, but... yeah, I definitely think our relationship changed a bit on that aspect, which wasn't in a positive way.
Looking back at your time at Brayhead overall, you've spoke warmly about the experiences you had, and of course the club rewarded you that year with a Wall of Fame banner, which now sits at the end of Brayhead Arena. How does that feel to be remembered in such a way?
Oh, when I saw that, I'm not a crier, but I definitely, the emotions were building up. It was... an amazing honor. I'm not really on social media much anymore, so when I did, finally somebody told me that it was on there, I looked, and I was, you know, greatly honored. It's an amazing honor to get recognized, you know, especially by the fans that I love so much and the team. You know, that year was one of my funnest years, one of my best years. It just, everything, and to get an honor like that, it was pretty special, and I'm very grateful.
Now, Jade, you've retired, as you told me just before we started recording. What is it you're doing now? What are you up to nowadays?
Well, funny you should say that is, me and my father have started a carpet cleaning company called Zamboni Carpet Cleaning. So we're tying in the hockey aspect of my life with, you know, a mature business like carpet cleaning. So we're doing that right now, and we want to, you know, kind of bring that out and maybe even... you know, franchise it out to England and Scotland at some point. But you know, we're in the business now. It's just getting off the ground floor. So what we'll have a website out probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So we'll have to talk about it again in the 2 weeks. Have another podcast here, and I can get all the information out to the people. And it's a kind of a fun little thing that we thought of. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing now. Kind of. A businessman, per se.
What's your favourite memory of the Purple Army in your time at Brayhead?
Well, actually, my favourite thing that I tell my friends all the time was when we went to finals, when we just lost to Nottingham in overtime, the finals weekend when I went there, and I was sitting in the stands, and all the fans started cheering and chanting the Super Jade chant. Still gives me chills thinking about that. So to all the fans that were there, I really appreciate that. It's one of my fondest moments.
That was Jade Galbraith looking back on his time with Brayhead Clan. As an extra treat, you can hear the full interview with Jade in a day or two in a Clan Chat Overtime edition, as he talks more about his time in the UK and his relationship with Paul Gardner. So look out for that. Anyway, time to start wrapping things up for this week, and we'll start with more injury news, sadly, as Tyler Schofield has been ruled out for 2 to 3 weeks with a lower body injury. He joined Ryan Pitolny and Tyler Shattuck on the sidelines as Clan tried to get through a tough period, and head coach John Tripp, talking to the Clan website, called on the rest of the team to rally round. He said, with Pitolny and Shattuck already sitting out, losing Schofield is another blow. However, this is a time we need to pull together, work hard, play for each other, and we still have the quality to win games, he said. Plus, let's say congratulations to equipment assistant Callum Marshall, who celebrated his 100th game behind the bench for the club on Saturday with a game against Manchester. It's a great milestone for him, and Hockey and Operations Director Gareth Chalmers extended his congratulations by telling the website, "Everyone at the Clan would like to congratulate Callum on his 100th game behind the bench. Callum is very fondly thought of, and someone myself, Andy, John, Richard, David, the staff and the players have a lot of respect for the hard work that he puts into our club behind the scenes." So say all of us. That's it for Clan Chat this week. Don't forget to pick up your tickets for Saturday's game against Edinburgh Capitals. Face off at 7 p.m, so check out brayheadclan.com for that and the latest news around the club. Don't forget to like our Facebook page as well, or follow us on Twitter and Instagram, the handle at brayheadclan. That Jade Galbraith interview in its entirety is coming very soon, so don't miss that. I'll be back for a post-match reaction to Saturday's game with Edinburgh as well. My thanks to John Tripp, Robbie Lepine, Cameron Burt, Zach Sullivan, Mark Lefebvre and Jade Galbraith for their time. And my thanks to you for listening and downloading. You've been listening to Clan Radio, sponsored by Wellwood Communications. That's all for this edition. Bye for now.